A long time ago, there was etiquette. Formal rules that governed everything from which fork to use to what topics to discuss in polite company. Or so we've heard. Today, there is no etiquette in this world, and yet etiquette is required. How many messages should it take to set up a meeting? When you start seeing a new therapist, how do you talk about it with your first therapist whom you are still seeing? Welcome to No Etiquette, the podcast where we address modern etiquette questions in a nonsense fashion. I'm Vivian Lee, coming to you from Singapore, and joining me on the line is my best friend, Sophia Bose, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Vivian. How are you?
I hate that question, but I can tell you something extremely... well, you can decide who's more no etiquette in this story, but
okay.
My parents, whom I live with, were going on vacation, and everything seemed totally as normal. And so on Thursday evening, I came home from work and they left and went to the airport. Everything seemed fine. Just they were gone. They were off. And a couple hours pass. It's nighttime. I'm going to bed. I turn off the lights. I lie down in bed. And I go, where is my blanket? Where, oh, where is my, you know, not small blanket, just your regular, you know, IKEA kind of coverlet comforter. And I just can't find it anywhere. I look all around my room. I go to sort of like the laundry spots. My mom didn't mention anything about this. I can't find my blanket. I must sleep.
What did you do?
I solved the problem in the quickest way, which is I went to my parents' room and I took their blanket. Their huge, nice blanket, also from IKEA, but I put it on my bed and I just go to sleep. And the next day, my parents call me from their vacation. They're excited. They have things to tell me. And I just go, where is my blanket? Feeling like a complete idiot. Like, how does one misplace one entire blanket? And my mom just goes, oh, didn't you see it? I go, no. And she goes, well, I just put it on the window to sun. I think you should have seen it when you came to your room. I said, I didn't see it. And it was actually late at night by then. I was in bed again. I went to sleep and I woke up this morning and I checked in the window. I drew the curtains and sure enough, there was my blanket.
Oh my goodness. I want to understand. So how exactly was this blanket suspended from the window?
Well, I have a window ledge that's big enough to put, you know, it's just a blanket. You can kind of scrunch it up. So my mom, what she had done without telling me, I think without remembering, was she thought, I guess it was, you know, they were leaving on their trip. We thought, okay, like, let's make sure the house is in order. Let's send her blanket. Let's send Vivian's blanket so that she has a nice sun blanket. Very sweet of her. And I guess she just thought that I would see it. And
yeah.
Nope.
Oh, you know, one doesn't just sun someone's blanket without asking them.
It's not, I think, such a terrible thing to do. It's trivial
it's
to go get your blanket
thoughtful.
Back or something. It's very thoughtful, and it's not the kind of
thoughtful.
Thing that really, you know, it's not like a, you know, like a, you have, you know, if my blanket's not sunned exactly right, I can't sleep. Like, there's no issue there. It's just, I think it was more funny that she just sort of neglected to mention it to me, but it did make me feel like, who are you, woman in your 30s, lost your blanket. And I think maybe my parents had this parallel conversation. Like, we leave her alone in the house. You know, she lived alone for many years. This we know. But we know now, if we leave her alone for one day, she loses her blanket.
I have a question. Do you think they suspected that you had been using their blanket?
I told them right out. I was mad.
You were mad.
They asked me sort of like, you know, like, I was like, I had to use, I just took your blanket. And they kind of laughed it off. They weren't too.
Okay, I have another question.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No.
For the rapid fire questions. So what is their blanket like? Like, what does it smell like, for example? And is it heavier than yours?
It's identical to mine, except it's the double version of the single one.
Oh.
And
did
maybe,
you like
I think there's
better?
A little warmer. No, it was too much blanket.
It was too much blanket for Vivian.
It was too much blanket. But honestly, in every other way, it was basically the same. I have no complaints about it.
Something in my life I've noticed is that I've always found other people's blankets to be more comfortable than my own. So every time I visit my sister, she has these like magic blankets. I don't know. I sleep so well with them. And I asked her specifically what brand they were when she brought them. And I tried to buy the same. And no matter what I did, I would never, like, I could never replicate her blankets. Like, they're the exact same blanket, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
I fully understand this. I think back to some of the best night's sleep I've ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. And one of them was at my friend from college, Josie. Mm-hmm. We would go to her parents' house over Thanksgiving for many years. Mm-hmm. And I slept in that house like better than anywhere I have ever slept in my life, because it was such a loving, lovely household. They were so sweet to host me and sometimes some other people over Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They hosted family a lot. So they kind of had, they were like, all right, like, let's go to the closet. We'll get the air mattress. We'll get the sleeping bags. It was, you know, it was kind of like a very comfortable routine. And, you know, like, they were sleeping bags that, like, you know, had been used, comfortably used. Sometimes had, I wouldn't say like a musty smell, but they had been in the, you know, they'd been in the closet for a while. So it wasn't anything like you said, like magical about the blanket. Mm-hmm. Although I think smells have a lot to do with it. Maybe like blankets other people use. In a nice way. You know, clean.
Yeah.
But like, I slept so well in that house, like better than my own house, my parents. It's like, there was just a lot of love there. I think you can feel that in objects.
You know,
coming under someone's care, ironically taking their blanket, so maybe they don't sleep so well. Did you take your sister's actual blankets, or these are just her extra blankets?
No, these are her, it was her guest room.
Okay.
Yeah, but she had a really good setup. To this day, those are the best blankets, even though I got the same, but
I think a really comfortable guest blanket set or something in someone's house that's, you know, nicely maintained, and it's the best. It's better than a hotel blanket. It's better than your own blanket. It's a blanket that someone has gotten ready for you. So that you could sleep restfully at their house. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I'm grateful that your mother sunned your blanket such that I could remember the good blanket at my sister's house.
Yeah.
So I have a question, an etiquette question, and it's a little bit about being a guest.
Okay.
So kind of, I guess, a little bit related to this, but not really. There's no beds involved. So I was at a dinner party the other day, maybe last week or something, and I was there with my husband, and so the people that invited us, they live down the street. We don't know them very well, but they're a little bit more than an acquaintance. They're a friend. We don't know them super well, but we've taken care of their cats. So there's a certain level of comfort, but I think that this is the first time that we were going to have an actual dinner at their place. And they said it was going to be an intimate gathering. And what we didn't realize is that by intimate, it really was just me, my husband, two other people, and then a third. So I guess it was fairly intimate. We had never met the other couple, or there was another man there who has family but didn't bring them along. So we hadn't met any of them, but we knew the two neighbors. I feel like I could be saying this in a little bit less complicated way, but in any case.
Gotcha. It was we're you sitting around and three more people. Yeah.
Yes. Good. Thank you, Vivian. So we're sitting in this dining table and it's like set. And I know that, you know, we're people in our 30s and, you know, people should be eating dinner at their dining table, but it had been a while since I'd actually sat down and had dinner on a dining table. And that's fine, you know. And there was like,
wait,
this
tell me a little more. What's your usual dinner?
My dinner setup? Well, usually I'm foraging and I'm eating at my like writing desk or on a couch or on the floor. I don't know. I mean, I guess I just don't really eat dinner. I mean, I eat dinner. I don't really know. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kind of combining it with other activities a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. Or we don't really even eat it. Like, it's just sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dinner is not very real anymore in my life.
Okay.
I mean, meals in general.
They say that you're supposed to, like, have the lightest, your lightest meal should be dinner, right? Like, you should start with a big, heavy breakfast, you have a smaller lunch, and your dinner is supposed to be the smallest one.
Yeah. I think unwittingly this has happened. So we're sitting there on this table. It's kind of a potluck. And I think that both of us were feeling really sick, so we actually hadn't brought anything. And the person had insisted that we don't, like, had very much insisted, like, you must come and don't bring anything with you. Okay. It's fine. We didn't bring anything.
Mm-hmm.
The table had beautiful food on it. Mm. And one of the things on this table was spring rolls. And like the kind that's fried, not the summer rolls, like the actual.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like my husband really likes spring rolls. And I like them too. But like when they're deep fried like that, they can get a little bit greasy. So while I like them, like for me, one is just about good. Like I will eat one and, you know, that's about it. So we're eating our food. I'm eating my spring roll. Spring roll is quite greasy. I like it. It's good. I finish it. And then all of a sudden, like my husband starts tapping on my shoulder and I turn to him and he like covertly like hands me his half eaten like spring roll because he can't finish it. But he's not like, he's suspending in air. He's sort of like tapping me. And then he tells me in a whisper, which is, I think, just loud enough for everyone on the table to hear. And he's like, what's inside this? And I was like, I don't really know. And then the person who had made this, he was one of the guys at the table, was like, oh, you know, it's and then he proceeded to explain. It actually had some strange ingredients. It had, I mean, not really strange. It had like tuna inside of it. And some other vegetables. And that was my husband's reaction. He was like, tuna? Like, he understood tuna. Immediately when the person said tuna. He was like, yes, this is why it's weird. And he nodded very enthusiastically. And I said, yes, it's delicious. It's great. You know, I had one. It was great. And then my husband had, you know, when the person had explained what it was, he sort of like pulled the spring roll back to his plate. But then when he thought that that person was no longer looking, he again tried to put it on my plate, and I didn't want it on my plate because I wouldn't eat it. And so I pulled my plate away. Anyway, all of this is playing out. And my question to you is this. When there's something unexpected in a food, and it's inside of the food so that you don't know until you've eaten it, and the person who's made it is sitting directly across you, or in a place where they can see. What is the best way to handle this situation for all parties involved?
Wow. All right. Well, that depends greatly on the outcome, the desired outcome, the interaction, I would say. I have so many thoughts on this, but I think first we want to establish what the nature of the unexpected ingredient is. I think if it maybe crosses, it's a little different if it's an allergen, if it's a food you can't eat, if it's something along those lines.
Yes.
And it may be, you know, or like a religious dietary, something like that, right? And maybe, especially in that case, if it's sort of in an unexpected food, like, you know, say, I mean, just like say it was pork. Like there's certain kinds of fried spring rolls that have pork, but it's not that. Yes. It's usually the other kind.
And
so if, say, it's, you can reasonably not expect it to be in there. Mm-hmm. And someone put it in there and did or didn't know that you couldn't have pork and did or didn't say.
Uh-huh.
And then when it comes out, and if you can't eat it, that's a kind of separate
thing. Yeah.
Where I feel like it's a little, it's quite all right to say straight up, I'm sorry, I can't eat this, or something, and then to leave it, and maybe it'll make the other person feel a little bad, but it's sort of a reasonable, you're not really, and then maybe someone else steps up and eats it or doesn't. And I think can think of one more situation where maybe that's a little more of an excusable, and in the sense of just very easy to get through socially. Mm-hmm. Maybe if there's something in something that a child won't eat, and then it can be ingredient, right? It could be a little bit of parsley. Yeah. It could be
tomatoes.
It could be almost anything, and that can be tricky. But also, like, I think everybody can be generally understanding of like, just we can treat it as a situation when you simply can't eat this thing, and we'll get over it.
Yeah.
Where I think it can be, and this is such a good, interesting etiquette situation, is it's something like, it's not a horrible, or not horrible, it's not a, you can't not eat tuna fish.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe is maybe something you don't like so much, or maybe something a little stranger, and it's in an unexpected food where you don't expect it to be.
Can I also add one more thing?
Yeah. Yeah, please.
So my husband, when he learned that it was tuna fish, his immediate reaction was, "Oh, I really don't like fish." That was all he said.
Oh dear. Yeah.
He told that person, "I really don't like fish." So anyway, keep going.
Yeah.
I would like to.
But I would say that's a little, I think fish is one of those things that is a big enough category of things that some people don't like and that you might, you know what it is? It's like, this is when people fight about pizza toppings and somebody's like, pineapple on pizza. And there's enough people who think that's really unpleasant, or anchovies, right? I think it's kind of a polarizing ingredient. And I think it's generally known. Tuna, not so much. I think tuna is so palatable to so many people, but it is a fish. And some people really don't like fish. And that seems in the realm. And I think in this case, just being very specific here, it's so unexpected to find that in a fried spring roll, I think. Right?
I agree. I mean, I absolutely agree. Apparently, it's a, I think it's like a Moroccan, so it's not, here's the thing, it's not even a spring roll. It just like looks like one. It's actually called something else. But it looks so much like one. It's made with the same wrapper and, you know, has similar vegetables in it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we've got two ways to approach this. How does one behave when this happens to one, and how does one behave as the host who serves this?
Yes.
I would think, well, my first thought was, and this was before you told me how it played out, what I've, the best way I think is to eat it and then put your napkin over your mouth and spit it into the napkin. Discreetly.
That's great.
Or to leave, to leave the uneaten part discreetly on your plate. Like maybe you cut it up a little. Maybe you, secretly slip it onto your spouse's plate. You know, it's a little, that's a little bit like, then you have to be the one who looks like you didn't eat the spring roll. It's a little bit hiding behind someone else.
Yes.
I think he was probably just hoping that you would eat it and then it would be no more.
Oh my goodness. So wait, Vivian. So did I break an etiquette rule by, because I wasn't very welcoming of this additional piece of spring roll onto my plate. And perhaps the host wouldn't have noticed if I had just sort of taken it.
To eat it and you didn't ask for it.
This is true. Unless I didn't ask for it.
Do you have a, and this is a, this is just a dynamic. Do you guys regularly eat food for each other?
No, not really.
Yeah, so it's, I think it's, if it's two people who kind of just always, or it's like, okay, no big deal, a little more of a spring roll, like maybe he felt like, surely, Sophia can help me out by eating half a spring roll, but you were full, and you didn't offer.
No, I did not.
So, I don't think you were being very no etiquette to not eat food that you had not requested. It would have, if you had eaten it, that would have been a generous thing of you to do.
Okay. Okay.
But maybe you also don't like tuna fish, right? Or now that you know it's tuna fish, maybe you also don't want to eat it. So that's
No. It's perfectly fine. I was just full.
You're full.
And also kind of like shocked that I was getting this like on my plate.
Yeah. Yeah. In front of people. It does look, Because then once he's doing it, it's like I said, right? Some people just do it for each other. So now mm-hmm. it looks like you're the one who's being churlish for
yes.
not
yes, yes, yes.
helping or doing your part as,
yes.
as requested. But yeah, I think the sort of disguising, like not eating it and sort of minimizing for everyone's discomfort how much mm-hmm. you don't want to eat it seems to be the kindest mm. thing to do. Like, I can think of situations where, you know, I've cleaned up after someone's food and you could tell they took a thing and they didn't like it. And maybe you feel a little like, ah, oh, man, if only this had gone to someone who had liked it. Yeah. But you're like, they didn't make a scene of it, right? You just didn't eat it and didn't say anything and didn't make a deal of it in any way, I think is probably the most, like, non-confrontational way.
Okay.
And we just let it pass, right? And you don't do it again next time. And, like, you don't have to do that thing where you, like, throw the drink in the potted plant. You know, you just, into the napkin seems like the best. The tricky thing is if it's, like, nice cloth napkins at someone's house.
Uh-huh.
Or something. And then you have to do a thing maybe where you put it in the napkin, you smuggle the napkin out. I feel like I've heard of this a lot, where people sneak something into the napkin and then they have to go dispose of it somewhere else. And
yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. In O Caledonia, the novel I'm reading by, I'm going to forget her name, Elspeth something, mm-hmm. but the child has a great, and it's always children, right, who do, because understandably, you've fed a lot of things you don't want to eat, and she gets this really good system where she rolls up some food into her cloth napkin, and when she gets it from the table, she unrolls it and throws the contents, like, under a table or something, and either their dog or their mice or something just go and grab it, and everyone's happy, goodness. And no one's the wiser.
That is the ideal setup.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Vivian. I really like that approach. I think in the...
Be furnished with napkins, though. Maybe it's difficult if you're not furnished with napkins.
We were furnished with napkins. I think that would have been possible. Mm-hmm. I think I will relay this, these next steps.
Technique. Even if you don't even have to, like, put it in your mouth and then put it on the... I think you could find a way to slip it into the napkin unnoticed.
Unnoticed, not try to put it on someone else's plate.
Yep. Out of the way. If you throw the napkin away yourself,
Okay.
Yeah. Don't have to comment that you like or don't like fish, unless it's really close friends or if it's going to affect the next time around or something, you know, what you eat thing. But, okay, turning to the topic of was it right to serve this? As a host. I'm not familiar with this dish. It's tricky if it's a real dish that they love and want to serve to guests. And it is unfortunate that your guest didn't like it, right? This happens.
This is a real dish.
It's a real dish, yeah.
It's a real dish, and
evidently they like it, and they liked it enough to cook it for you guys, right? So they're it was well intentioned.
And I think there's a cultural component to it because everyone in that table was Tunisian or Moroccan, and we were not. So we didn't know that dish. I have one more personal etiquette question, also related to food.
Sure.
This is going to be a little bit shorter. There was an event that we were hosting for work, and it happened to fall on the same exact day that there were mass protests on campus about the, like, Palestine-Israel conflict. And I had to order food for this event, and I wasn't quite thinking. And I ordered Zingerman's, and I think Zingerman's is Jewish. It's very, very Jewish. And I was not trying to make any statement. I just ordered the food. And
from, like, kind of just to set some context, like a go-to fancy, well-established catering provider kind of deal.
And they have the little takeaway, like dinner baggies. You know, it's a really great catering option. I was kind of late in placing the order, so it was, like, really convenient. They deliver, you know, it was all set up. And I didn't at all think that there might be any, you know, I wasn't thinking of it as a political thing. It was just food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, nobody thought of it as a political thing. However, I did have a moment where I wondered, is it in a time where I think there's a lot of emotions around this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Was it bad etiquette to have gotten food catered from a place that could potentially have made people uncomfortable?
And this kind of connects both a little bit, because I think with the food you guys were served at the dinner party, you know, that's not to say don't serve people the food of your people, right? Because you're just by default afraid that they're not going to like it or not be familiar to them. Like, that's the whole point of friendship, right? Like, maybe if it hadn't had the tuna fish or something, like, you guys maybe would have eaten it and loved it forever, right?
Yeah.
And then that would have been forever a great experience.
Yeah.
And you guys are kind of like neighbor friends, right? It's not like it was, say, a work thing where maybe one is serving something difficult to eat or with controversial ingredients. You know, controversial in the sense of like some people may not like it, kind of.
Very much neighbor friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Food preferences, man. So tricky. I think in such cases, especially since it's the first time you're getting to know people, I think I've always erred on the side of either cooking something very kind of like widely liked or like sometimes I'll check with people, and I've had people check in with me, and it may be a little excessive, but you know, I remember one time some friends had me over and they were like, are fajitas okay? And I was like, I love fajitas. But you know, I think they just wanted to make sure that there was no dietary or something. I think now it's maybe it's with dietary restrictions, it's so widespread that a nice thing can be to check in with people or something.
That's a very good point, actually, that maybe it is,
but it's
good
a lot
etiquette.
Of work.
That's true,
but it's a lot of work for the host, and maybe sometimes you don't know till the day of, or you know, why should I have to think that my food is unpalatable to you or so, you know, this, we eat this every day, you know.
Tricky
And then for the catering question, that's a whole other, I don't know, it's the times we're in. It could be taken, it could be meant.
Well,
go on.
Oh, sorry, I had a tiny addition to this story.
Yeah.
So, I asked the director of the program whether this was a problem and, you know, should we say something? And his response was, no. We are not going to address it. We're not going to think, you know, we're not going to assume anything. We're just not going to say anything. And he happened to have just received that day a box of baklava, which, you know, is, I guess it was from a Palestinian restaurant. And so what we did is we actually put the box of baklava next to the Zingerman's packets. And so we thought we were, you know, we were very grateful that sort of worked out in that way. But yeah, his solution was, we just don't bring it up and we silently keep the baklava next to the Zingerman's packets. So that was what we did.
Oh, that was a nice gesture. I think just the fact alone that both of you were kind of thinking about, will this make anyone uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
is a very high etiquette thing to do, right? If we think of etiquette as ways that you can extend yourself on behalf of others to make them feel more comfortable in a social situation, particularly if you are in a hosting role where you are assuming that responsibility, I think I would think of erring on the side of wanting your guests to be comfortable is better than not, right? It's the opposite of saying is sort of saying, and not that your dinner party friends were doing this, but kind of like, you know, my house, my rules. Like, when you come here, like, I treat you how I want to treat you, which
is
hopefully well, as I myself would like to be treated.
Yeah.
But there is that in hospitality, you're supposed to put the other person's needs and wants and preferences ahead of your own, right? Or at least try to value them as much as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very kind of you. And that makes me feel better about the situation.
I think it would be another matter if someone said something and you would have to address it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hope that meals are an occasion to come together and that base purpose is achieved through the food in some way.
I agree.
Sometimes I do think it is amazing to me how much time we have to spend eating and how much, I really think, but how much of a social bond that is. It's possible to eat all your food alone, but I mean, even to get food is kind of a social experience because you're you're dependent on someone else to help you get it or grow it or procure it or order it for you. How nice. I mean, you know, what a nice thing you did for people. And Singerman's, quite nice and fancy. May I ask what was for dinner?
Oh, yes. It was sandwiches. It was, they have these, they're called Thrifty Theas. And you can essentially, yes. So you can get their sandwiches for like slightly less than it would be like menu price. But it's a more limited menu. And it comes, it's a sandwich, it's a pickle, and there's a dessert and there's a fruit. It's actually quite nice. And so we had like Gemini Rocks the House, which is a mozzarella, basil, tomato sandwich thing. And then we had some Reubens. It was quite good. We had a couple of vegan sandwiches called Soyve. Good stuff.
Yeah. No, and that's, I think that would be the kind of thing I would do if I were catering a meal or something. You know, not just from wherever, right? Kind of like a general spread.
Yeah.
Your classic, you know, perhaps over time slightly dull lunch options, but feed everyone more or less.
Yeah.
We have a listener question that may involve eating in groups, may involve eating alone, and maybe we'll have something of that nature as we address this question. But here's a question from Michelle from East Lansing, Michigan, who says, Dear No Etiquette, I am a mysterious, classy individual who from time to time enjoys indulging in hot dogs. What is the correct way to eat a hot dog?
Oh, Michelle, what a good question. Vivian, I would need you to answer this because I still have not figured out the best way to eat a hot dog.
The best way to eat a hot dog, your own way of eating a hot dog?
Oh my gosh, that's such a lovely answer. How do you
I'm really genuinely asking. Like, I think we have two questions here, right? It's sort of like, how do you accessorize a hot dog?
And then
what is the manner in which you eat a hot dog? And I like that Michelle phrased her question very ambiguously, right? Kind of all of the above. Yeah. Are you a ketchup and mustard girl?
Am I a ketchup and mustard girl? I am a one of those, either of those, not both.
Not both, but either.
Never both. Because if it's both, it's too tart.
It's very tart.
Yes. So it's either ketchup or it's mustard.
How do you decide?
Put down a line. Oh, how do you decide? Well, this has to do with what the mustard or what the ketchup looks like. So like if whichever bottle looks more appealing at the moment.
Oh.
You run a line down the hot dog and then you twist the hot dog in the bun so that it's coated evenly.
I really like the little twisting gesture you're making with your hand that we can't see in the audio medium.
It's great. Yeah. Then it's evenly coated. And then it's not like too much liquid, right? Because you've only put one of the things.
And a line.
And a line. And then you clamp it firmly shut with both of your hands. Such that it's like smoldered together. And then you just, or soldered. It has to be tight together. And then you just eat it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're, from what I understand, you're holding it in your hands. One hand, two hands? Yeah.
Both hands.
Great. And you've smoldered it together. I like this word. Somehow smolder. Correct. I know that's not what it means, but that's the feeling of it. You've both smothered it and molded.
Both of your hands so that it doesn't fall out.
It can't escape.
Cannot escape.
Great. I never thought I would hear such an answer.
Well, how do you eat a hot dog?
Well, I mean, just first, if I may, I've never seen someone rotate the hot dog.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen another person? Have you seen someone else rotate the hot dog within the hot dog?
People eat their hot dogs. I mean, if there's a situation in which there's a hot dog, then I'm having a hot dog and I'm eating it. Like,
also,
I'm not
you're minding your own hot dog.
My own hot dog.
You know, this is another great question of, like, how rude is it to watch someone else eat? Because I've always felt it is quite rude. Like, because you're also always eating. So to be not eating and watching someone else, like, some people actually don't even, and I think this is justifiable, but some people don't like eating if they're the only person eating, because then they feel like they're being watched, and it makes some people uncomfortable.
I'm one of those people. I do not like to eat if others are not eating.
I have a story about once I went for, like, I was going to say coffee, but we didn't have coffee. I think we went to a bakery with our friend Adriana from grad school, whom you didn't know very well, but she had recently broken up with her boyfriend. And I think I was sort of like, maybe I'll get to know her and see if I can cheer up a little, you know, as someone who doesn't know her very well. But we go to this bakery and we order our things. And I remember she gets some kind of cookie. She gets like a big, maybe like chocolate chip or something cookie. And as we're talking and she's a little sad, and she starts breaking the cookie into pieces with her hands.
Oh.
And she's like, she's breaking it into pieces and then she's putting it in her mouth. And at the time I thought, oh my gosh, she's so struck by grief. She's so thoroughly, you know,
yeah.
in the throes of emotion that she can barely eat. The only way she can eat is by snapping her cookie into pieces. And then at some point, I think I mentioned that to someone else, and they went, no, but Adriana's just a weird eater. She eats everything that way. It had nothing to do with her emotional state. It was the way she ate things.
By the way, that is how I eat cookies.
Do you always break them into little pieces and put them in your mouth?
Yes.
Only cookies or everything?
Cookies.
Okay.
Specifically.
I think with her, it was everything, I think, because I was not the only person who had noticed. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like in your face. It wasn't unpleasant table. It wasn't gross. It was just noticeable. And now that I'm thinking about it, she did get together with someone else. And I always thought that person ate slightly strangely. I never put this together anymore. But he and, you know, no offense to, I always wondered if it was because he was from Ireland. And maybe they just hold their cutlery a little differently. But I remember once we went out, maybe we were eating burgers or something. And just the way, like in the jazz song, you know, the way you hold your knife. Like the way he held his knife was so strange.
How did he hold his knife?
I can't even. I think most of the time you have the knife pointed down. And it's sort of like held almost as you would like a magic wand. Like your pen or your quill or your magic wand.
Okay.
Right? You hold it in the sort of like finger. I don't even, but he was holding it almost like in his fist in this strange, strange way. And maybe it was just him. And you know, maybe they were meant to be. And all along, I should have known from the moment I saw him hold his knife that way that the two of them would end up a happily together pair.
Oh, I do so love this.
I'm only just putting this together now. This is many years ago.
This is great.
How do we get on this with the rotating the hot dog, watching other people?
Yeah,
I think I'm happy Michelle asked us too, because I can't say I've watched. Now I know how I do it, but you're right. I don't think I've watched with great attention
to
someone else eat a hot dog. Okay, here's what I do.
I must know now.
I am both a ketchup and mustard girl. I must have both. In general, I think I like most of the toppings. Like, if there's onions, I'll put the onions on, you know, unless, but you know, you never have this problem. Like, a hot dog is such a casual food in a casual environment, like the game or the barbecue or something. So you're not worried about, like, your breath in close proximity to someone else or something. Yeah. Everyone's eating the same thing, too.
Everyone
you're right. Like, usually.
Thing. Yeah.
If one person's eating a hot dog, almost everyone is eating hot dogs also. It's one of those foods.
This is the thing about hot dogs,
That's the thing about hot dogs. And I do like a hot dog. And I'll usually, you know, if I'm at a barbecue, I'll often prefer a hot dog because it's a little less messy to mm-hmm. eat and kind of pre-cooked. So mm-hmm. Hot dog is a great food with many advantages. And Michelle, yes. you need feel no shame whatsoever about enjoying indulging in them. They're a great American classic. Truly.
Smoldering it together.
Yeah, no, whatever you... that's what makes them a little fun too. You can personalize them.
Yes.
And in an easy way that uh-huh. kind of makes them enjoyable. You can have it kind of the way you want. So I'll put ketchup and mustard. I won't do hot sauce. I don't think I associate. Uh-huh. It's probably, there must be people who, I wouldn't put hot sauce on a hot dog.
Uh-huh.
Be a hot dog.
Yeah.
Just a little. I'll just put them on top. I will, if it's like a squeezy bottle of ketchup mm-hmm. and mustard, I'll like do mm-hmm. the, I feel like that, I always thought, you know, like when you watch a movie and they kind of drizzle it in like a Z yes. back and forth uh-huh. zigzag. Uh-huh. Like uh-huh. I have to do the zigzag if I have a, if
like
I have the bottle.
Like a side by, like a, like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I'll put them, you know, I'm a little, I'll just put them on top of the other. I'm not making a nice pattern. And I think the reason why the zigzag evolved is so you can put more on. Like most I think want more, right? Like you want to get more of the condiment on.
Yeah.
And then I'll just hold it in one hand and eat it.
In one hand?
In one hand.
But what if in one hand? Okay, but like usually if there's like toppings on it, wouldn't the toppings fall off?
Well, that's what I like about hot dogs, where there isn't, you know, unless it's onions. Maybe with onions, I'm doing
like with
a little,
onions, yeah.
I'm doing a little like pushing onions with the other hand. Boy, this is really making me think. But I think it's a one hand, and I think I eat sandwiches two handed, but hot dogs one handed. And I know this for a fact because there was once upon a time, the only time I ever went to go see a game at Michigan, I was alone. Uh-huh. I went and got uh-huh. the cheaper grad school tickets by uh-huh. myself because I didn't really know anybody yet.
Uh-huh.
And
I should have gone together, by the way, because I have still not ever gone to a game.
Oh my gosh, never.
Never. Nope, not yet.
Oh,
but anyway.
My goodness. Yeah, you were saying. I mean, you know, I thought I must go and... It was quite an eye-opening experience, but I went there. I mean, this is how little I knew about going to a game, right? This uh-huh. is a real, it really is like a whole, like James K. A. Smith does this really interesting thing where he breaks down the football game as a religious ceremony, and that's entirely what it is. It's like a formational practice.
Wow.
And it has all the aspects of a religious ceremony, and that's why people are so attached to it. It really is kind of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, it's such an experience if you've never been to one because you're so aware of all the things you don't know. So first I show up, I have like a handbag uh-huh. and I brought this handbag because it was yellow and I was like, oh, Michigan colors. And immediately I found out you're actually not supposed to bring a bag. It's a safety thing.
Oh.
I don't know what other people. Yeah. So this is why you have to tailgate. You have to drive your car up and your stuff's in your car, I guess. And then you just go empty handed into the stadium or something.
Like you don't have your wallet or your phone or your...
Or you hold... I don't know. So what... I was very lucky. Maybe they took pity on me. They let me in with the handbag.
Wow.
Even though it was maybe a little too big.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't so bad. I think it was like you could kind of like...
Yeah.
Definitely you could not have gotten in with a backpack. Just they wouldn't have let you in, I think.
Maybe
you would have to go check it in a locker or something.
So
that was already like, oh, you know, like you don't know what this means.
You
don't know how to behave here.
Yeah.
And then as you know, as you're approaching the game, there's all this food. People are tailgating, you know, some of it's personal, some of it's for sale. And I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go get a hot dog because that's what you do at a game.
Yes.
And I'm going to be so smart. I'm going to get one outside the stadium because I bet if you buy a hot dog inside the stadium, they're going to charge you more and it's going to be less good.
Yeah.
And I think I was kind of hungry and they smelled great. And so I said, two hot dogs. Uh-huh. And I'm carrying my two hot dogs.
Oh, wow.
And of course, when I get to the stadium, they say, you can't bring that in here.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I did. Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, I found some, I think I like sat on a wall or something. It was just like, I found somewhere to sit and I ate my two hot dogs
with
at top
hand.
Speed, one hand each. That's how I know I can manage a hot dog in a hand. And then entirely full of hot dog, I went and watched the game. So that's how I eat hot dogs.
That's such a story. I love it. Did you enjoy those hot dogs?
I did. I mean, they were great hot dogs. I would have enjoyed them more if I could have eaten them while watching the game.
Yeah.
At leisure.
Yeah.
But they were still good hot dogs.
Vivian, this is just making me want to eat hot dogs. I think tomorrow, that's what I'll do. Mm-hmm. I think I'll have hot dogs for, like, breakfast or something.
And now you're saying that I don't believe I've ever made a hot dog for myself in my entire life.
No.
I think so. Like, when I was a kid, sometimes I would get a pack of hot dogs and, like, just, like, toast regular bread, but we would never buy, hot dog buns.
And, like,
And actually... So
are they readily available in Singapore? Can you do it if you wanted to?
They're not as readily available as they would be in America. Okay. That's true. Like I don't know if you could expect easily the.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure. I've never paid that much attention. It's never crossed my mind to buy myself hot dog buns.
Hot dog.
And make an actual hot dog. It's such a. I think that's why they have a slight fun feeling. It's the thing you get at the movies or the game.
Yeah.
Or the barbecue.
Yeah, it's not a responsible, I will make it at my house kind of a meal. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of don't have to, but, you know, you're going to get one tomorrow, and then have we covered the bases? Yeah, do you feel that there is a correct or incorrect way to eat a hot dog that we must advise Michelle about?
I mean, you know, I think I've seen people eat, you know, like chili dogs. So outside of my workplace, there used to be a hot dog cart. And this hot dog cart would come at like 10 a.m. And between 10 to noon, they'd sell hot dogs. And I think sometimes people would be standing around, and if they got a chili dog, and if they had it with one hand, then you know, stuff would start spilling. I mean, you know, they'd hold. It was a whole thing. I think if you're having a chili dog, that is the kind of thing that either requires sitting down and both hands, or cutlery. Like, I think that is a situation in which one does not just one hand a hot dog.
I think that's right. But do you think if there was somebody who had the ability to manage a chili dog single-handedly, would it be rude if they did it in a tidy fashion?
I don't think you could do anything rudely with a hot dog. Like, I think hot dogs live beyond etiquette, don't you think? Just a little bit?
Oh, because they're such a casual food.
They're such a casual food. Right?
Maybe that's it. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think, you know, when sometimes people are like, oh, how could you eat a hot dog that way, right? You know, if someone puts something funny on it, that's so besides the point. It's a casual food that you're meant to eat however you want to eat it. I think that's kind of right.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Casual food, not meant to enforce your preferences on other people. But I do think, like a chili dog is a real... That's a separate, that's almost a, that's a thing.
Yeah. this is just a memory. At my old workplace, there was a hot dog, there's like a hot dog restaurant. Is that a thing? Like
restaurant?
Yeah. They only sold hot dogs. It's called Ray's Red Hot Dogs or something. Ray's Hot Dogs. It's an institution. It's been around... like this town for, I don't know, like 50 some years. And every time we had like a really bad meeting or something, that is where we'd go for lunch. We would go sit there. We would each order like two or three hot dogs each. Mm-hmm. And we'd sit there on the table, eat those hot dogs, and we'd go back into work like nothing happened.
Okay, I have a question. Was it a comfort food for you guys, or was it a debasing ourselves food? And not that the hot dog is a debased food item, but it is, it's a lower food item nutritionally and, dare I say, socially. It's like a casual party children's birthday almost kind of food, right? It's not a...
Yeah. Of course, I mean, when you know, with this one, like, they made all their hot dogs in-house and whatnot.
So they were hot dogs, but they were, like, kind of nicer, like, good, like, better sausage kind of...
I mean, they were only better in the sense that they were made in the restaurant, but they tasted pretty much the same.
Okay.
Any hot dog, you know, that you would, and they were the same price. They were like, I don't know, $1.50 or something, or $2.
Okay. Sure. And it's like a casual kind of
diner.
Sit down,
but they only sold hot dogs.
Gotcha.
It wasn't. I think it was comfort food. I think it was like a we deserve this. Like, you know. And we were all,
That's a gift. I think that hot dog restaurant knew its clientele and knew it had a niche there.
Yep. And then they got torn down to build expensive student housing. It was a travesty.
Did you guys ever find a replacement for the role
that
Ray's Red Hot Dogs had in your...
Nope. It doesn't exist. It's the kind of thing that, you know, is there at that time being, and I don't think it exists.
Yeah. So after that, you had nothing, you had nowhere to go with your grief and your kind of...
No, we didn't. We had nowhere to go with our grief. I think what we would do is we would get pizza from like a, I think NYPD pizza or something. We'd just get like greasy pizza.
Mm.
But it wasn't the
which
thing.
You then have you would eat it in the office amidst your
you have to eat it in the room as a whole. Yeah. you didn't have a you didn't have that diner charm.
Well, my other hot dog eating story of hot dogs as a comfort food, I will always have this fond memory of hot dogs, was many years ago we took a family vacation to which is the one in Florida. Is that one Disney World? That one's Disney World?
I'm not sure. Maybe?
I think that one's Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a slightly bigger family trip. So like my cousin, like a couple of aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin and I think I was a teenager and she was still like a child kind of age.
Uh-huh.
So we were kind of young. This was all many years ago. We were all younger back then. But, you know, such ignorant fools. We go to Disney World for the first time all together as a family.
Uh-huh.
And just having no idea, you know, now as an adult and with people having lived in Southern California, people who take Disneyland very seriously, research and not only people who live, but even people like casual, like a family going there once for one family vacation will do research because it's kind of, depending on what kind of Disney goer you are, sometimes you want to know how long you have to stand in line, what are the things to do, what are the characters to see. That like some people really have a powerful agenda, and you have to really kind of plan around if you want, or if you want to save money or this and that. Like there are a lot of considerations. It turns out it's quite
sounds very stressful.
It does, and it's because it's kind of expensive. It, you know,
you
got to get the most out of it if you're going, especially
you're
with your extended family. But we were innocent. We were naive.
Uh-huh.
We knew nothing, so we go in unprepared. And the first ride that we happened to take, which looked like good fun to all of us, was some kind of like space flight simulator. Maybe this wasn't Epcot or something. It was just the first ride. There was no line. It was like bright and early on a whatever day. And we get in this ride and all of us are instantly extremely ill.
Oh, like nauseous?
Yeah, because, and you know, we should have known because some of us, myself included, are already very prone to all kinds of motion sickness.
Yeah.
But there was something, and I'm sure there were signs, or maybe now the signs are scarier. But somehow we didn't know. We were so silly. And so, like, within seconds, all of us are intensely ill.
Oh, my gosh.
And I gotta say, it was so bad. This is really unfortunate. One of my aunts was so nauseated by this thing that we put her.
Yeah.
In fact, several members went to the sick bay. Like, you can go to the infirmary.
Really?
And including my dad, who's never usually the sick, but they were all so sick. My aunt was there the whole day. I think at least my dad got out at some point. Everyone else got out, but my aunt was so sick.
Oh my gosh.
She did not do a thing in the park. And so everyone was very ill.
Yeah.
The quickest to recover were me and my youngest cousin, my cousin and my youngest auntie. And we were all okay, I think just by age.
Wow.
And about an hour after the ride, I remember we were fine. And what we did is we went and ate hot dogs because you kind of want that, like, what did you say about the sour kind of, like, you know, and we were kind of hungry, I think.
Yeah.
And I know this would sound really revolting in some cases, but, like, a hot dog was exactly what we wanted.
It sounds perfect.
It can be a real comfort food. It's fun. You can really go either way with a hot dog. It can be a real regret or a real comforting item.
Yeah. Oh. I will for sure have a hot dog tomorrow. This is too good.
It'll make you feel good. Wait, okay, last question. Are you going to have to... Do you have a squeezy ketchup or mustard bottle, or are you going to have to do something else?
Oh, I'm just going to have it by itself with the bun. Yes, plain.
With the smoldered bun? Plain with the smoldered bun?
Yes, because typically they're quite salty. And so they have I like to like really savor their like their own taste, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we can say to Michelle that the correct way to eat a hot dog is the way you need to eat a hot dog in that moment.
I think that is absolutely right.
And with that, thank you so much for asking us that question, Michelle. We at No Etiquette are so happy to hear from our listeners. Please send us your questions at noetiquettepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And with that, thank you for joining us. See you next time here on No Etiquette. And until then, it is good etiquette to buy yourself a hot dog every now and then, with or without company, and to eat it in a way that pleases you.
Goodbye.